there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Week four of Let's Go. A quick recap for those of you that may not have been here for the last few weeks. Week one, we started off by Pastor Mike, and he encouraged us, or he asked us the question of how, or he gave us a teaching on how to share your story without even saying a word. Ooh. He spoke about how actually the way that we tell our story is about the deeds that we live out, how the Bible says it's not about works and deeds, but about faith. And all of that is 100% true, but our deeds actually tell our story really well. That was week one. Week two, Pastor Nathan came from One Church online. He shared with us, what's your message? He was asking the question of, what is your story? What are you trying to tell people? I'm really sorry, my feet are on a damp carpet and it's putting me off a little bit. I'm sorry. And last week, Pastor Mike asked us the question. I know, but I can hear him squeaking. I feel like Michael Jackson. Focus, guy. This is where it's going to go this morning. I've had too much sleep. For the first time ever, the extra hour, Harry actually worked with us and let us sleep. So I'm raring to go. This is going to be fun. Last week, Pastor Mike shared with us how to answer the questions without starting an argument. Now, I don't know about you, but I've found myself in arguments about faith before with people. Anybody else? And what Pastor Mike shared with us last week was actually a really practical, really easy way to be able to share our faith without getting stuck in those arguments, because who knows, those arguments could be really dangerous. Who knows, those arguments can be really hard to get out of. So that was excellent from Pastor Mike last week, and again, very practical, which was great. But this morning, I want to ask you this question. Who's your one? Who's your one? This whole series of Let's Go has been all about us going out to the world, sharing our story and sharing our Jesus to our world around us. And I want to ask you this morning, who's your one? Now, we're going to get there. We're going to go on a bit of a journey to get there, I'll be honest with you. So I might be speaking, you'll be thinking, where on earth are you going with this? Bear with me. It's going to be good, I promise you. But before we ask that question, I want to ask you a very practical question. And don't think about this too much. Think really practically. Where's the darkest place you've ever been? Where's the darkest place you've ever been? Now, for me, I was thinking about this, and some of the answers came up in my brain. This sounds like I'm bragging. I'm not, I promise. Go with me. You can laugh at me. You can tell me I'm bragging later. That's fine. I thought about the time that we drove from Exeter to Gloucester on the M5, and it was really dark. And there wasn't a lot of light around. The car lights were there, but that was about it. And that was quite dark. And then I thought about the time that we drove like 8 hours in Australia in the outback from a place called, I can't remember what it's called. Airlie Beach. Thank you. Airlie Beach to Cairns up in the north. And literally, there was nothing around. We were driving, and all of a sudden, we'd see these eyes. And it was kangaroos hopping alongside us on the road. Like 5 o'clock in the morning. That was cool. It was misty when the sun started to come up. It was really dark, and the only lights around were our lights. That was really dark. But then, the darkest place I've ever been was the Green Hut in Belarus. For anybody that's been to Belarus, you'll know what I'm talking about. There, we partner with a charity in Belarus as One Church, a charity called Top Kids. They've got a center in like a small village, I guess, outside of Minsk. And this center is amazing. They've spent money, they've spent time doing up the center to make it available for foster families to go and have some respite. But when I went in 2009, I was 18, just finished my A-levels. I actually finished them, surprisingly. But when we went, their only toilet was an outdoor shack that was painted green. It was lovely. I say it was lovely. The outside was lovely. The inside, not so much, because there wasn't plumbing. It was like a drop chute. It was a hole in the ground where people used it for their business. I don't really need to go any deeper, do I? But they peed and they pooed, and it sat there. But this green room, so Belarus is, like, Minsk is really nice and is done up, but everywhere else is pretty poor and there isn't really a lot of money or a lot of electricity anyway. So the main building had some electricity, but the green room was in the outskirts of the plot of the land, no electric. There was no city around it, so it was really, really, really dark. And I went out last thing at night, just before I went to bed, and there was another friend of mine that had also gone out just before me, and I knew that they'd gone out, and I thought, I'm going to play a trick. Because I'm 18 and because I think I'm funny, I'm going to play a trick on this person. I wasn't so funny, and they didn't appreciate it that much. But because it was so dark, when they came out, their torch had died, so it was still really dark. I turned my torch off, I was hid in a bush, and as they walked past me, I went, rah! Thankfully, they'd been to toilet before I did that to them. They didn't talk to me for the rest of the week, which probably kind of deserved, but it was so dark, literally, it was so dark that you put your hand in front of you and you couldn't see anything, like that kind of dark. That's dark, right? Have you ever been to that kind of dark before? Like, you look around and you can't even see a city a while away because it's too far. Like, there's literally no light. You look up and you realize how many stars there are because there's nothing to, like, what's the word? Light pollution. There's no light pollution to get rid of the stars that you can see. Like, we look up and we think, wow, there's a lot. And then you get into that kind of dark and you think, flippin' heck, there are a lot of stars. It was that kind of dark and it was amazing. And I wonder what kind of dark you've ever been to. Have you ever been to that kind of dark? Because I think that our world is becoming a little bit like that. That's gone really deep really quickly, forgive me. But the reality is that there is a light that we know of, but there's so much darkness around at the moment that if we're not careful, that light is getting harder and harder to see. If we're not careful, that light is getting so far away that it's becoming really difficult to see. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, you might have a friend who just feels like they're completely surrounded. Like, there's just no way out. Like, the only light that they might have is a torch on their phone, and at some point that's going to die because we all know what phones are like eventually, right? There's this dark that you put your hand in front of you and you can't even see that because it's so dark around you. There's just nothing to give you any kind of light. And the reason that I'm asking this question is because the Bible tells us that we have to be this light. Okay, if you've got a Bible, please would you turn to Matthew 5, and we're going to read verse 13 to 16. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. It's going to come up on the screen behind me. But this is where we're going to look from this morning. I'm just going to grab it in my Bible. So Matthew 5, it's too far, guy. Verse 13 to 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, I'm sure that many of us would have read this before, or at least heard a message preached by somebody about this passage, right? In fact, if you've been here for the last few weeks, Pastor Mike literally spoke from this passage in week one. And I don't know if you remember, but he put Annabelle's hat on that light and hid it and said, like, we can't be like that. But when I was reading this and when I was preparing, I found it really interesting. Like, I thought that, I don't know if I've ever heard it before, but just something stuck with me is this. In the Bible, it says that the only light, the capital L light, is Jesus. Right, we know that. It says that in John 8, verse 12. It says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" So how can it be that the only light in the world is Jesus, and yet he's saying, "But you are the light"? How can that be? Because I feel like this sometimes. How can I be a light when I can't even liked my own path sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you get into such a place where you just think, I just don't have anything to give anymore. Do you ever feel like that? Or just me? Yeah. When you're looking at what's ahead and you think, I don't have the fuel to keep going here. I don't see what the path is. I don't know what the next step is, let alone what the next 12 steps are. And then there's Jesus, and in Matthew 5, it's Jesus talking, saying, you're the light. Imagine sitting there and him pointing the finger at you and saying, please be a light, and you're going, I can't even light myself up, never mind somebody else. Ever feel like that? And I feel like that, but then I began to think about this a little bit and began to pray. And I think that this is what Jesus was actually saying to the people when he was talking to them. And what he's saying to us is, I don't want you to be a self-sustaining light. I want you to be a reflection. Okay? So in order to, number one, explain this, and then we're going to example it. A little bit of science. I was never very good at science, I'll be honest. My best science was biology. My worst science was chemistry and physics. The other two, funny enough. But here's something that I do remember, okay? So, in our solar system, there is a light source called the sun. Good, somebody paid attention. The sun is the only self-sustaining light source in our solar system. Does everybody know that? In fact, the stars that you see at night, they are self-sustaining light sources in other galaxies. Ooh, I feel really smart saying this. And everyone's like, yeah, we know that, you idiot. Move on. Okay, so the sun is the only light, is the only self-sustaining life source in our galaxy. And yet, at night, there is something else that lights up our sky, right? It is the moon. And everyone who loves science is like, we know where you're going with this. Anybody not know where I'm going with this? Oh, yes. We are going to learn something this morning. So, the reason that we can see the moon at night isn't because it's self-sustaining, but because it is a reflector of the sun, okay? So the light from the sun shoots through the solar system at the speed of light, hence the saying, and it bounces off the moon and comes to Earth. So at night, the reason that you can see the moon is because it is reflecting what the sun is giving it. Make sense? Okay. In the same way, the reason that you can see me is because light is bouncing off of me and coming into your eyes, and your eyes are working some magic. The neurons, the nerves in your brain are working, which is science. Science. Here's what I think Jesus is telling us. Don't be like the sun, be like the moon. Don't try and be a source, be a reflector. Okay? Don't try and be the thing that lights up, but be a great reflector of the thing that is lighting up. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm glad that that makes sense, because it's going to help us as we move forward. So, in this example, Jesus is the source. He is the light of the world. He is our light. He is the only self-sustaining source in our world. He is the light, capital L, light. Yes, we are reflectors. We are like the moon. We reflect what Jesus is. Now, practical example. Does everybody know what this is? It's a mirror. It's our shaving mirror. It's a little bit too small. Our. Emily shaves her beard in this. The reason it's a shaving mirror is because on one side, it's like a normal mirror. On the other side, it's concave, which means that it gets closer to my head, so I can see what I'm shaving. Anyway, I've made this mirror really dirty for a reason. Because as it currently is, this mirror will not do its job properly. So, here is a light. Ooh, thank you, Apple. If I shine a light on there, it's not really reflecting very well, right? Is this too low for people to be able to see properly? Hang on. Please, would you get that red table? Because it's a bit higher than the stool. Thanks. This mirror doesn't do its job properly when it's like this because it's too dirty. So you're going to see some kind of reflection because you can see that there is some dirt on it. However, it's not going to fulfill its function of being a mirror. Does that make sense? So I shine a light at it. You're not really getting a good reflection. This is what we are like as human beings if we don't spend enough time with Jesus. This is what we as human beings are like in the world that we live in, because we as human beings are flawed. We are dirty, we're messy, we're covered in rubbish that we were never created to be covered in. We're covered in sin, in the darkness, in the stuff that we allow to come into our life that drives us away from God. Does that make sense with everyone? Yeah? So hear me. Before we encounter Jesus, or when we don't spend the time with Jesus and we allow other things to come into our life, we become like this dirty mirror. We're made for a purpose, but we're not fit for purpose. Yeah? We all follow him. So I'm not calling you a dirty mirror. Not yet. I'm saying if you don't spend enough time with Jesus, you can be like this dirty mirror. However, anybody else notice that baby wipes never come out one at a time? Oh my goodness. I'm sure we spend more money on baby wipes because they just come out too many at a time. Well played, Mamia. Right, so this mirror. Now, if we spend time with Jesus, what begins to happen is he begins to rub off on us, okay? So the more time that you spend with Jesus, the more the dirt gets wiped away. This cream is way too good. Right, so a bit of time with Jesus, and all of a sudden there's a little bit of light that can be shown. There's too many lights on. Trust me, this is working, okay? So the more that we spend time with Jesus, the light, in fact, the light of Jesus begins to burn away the dirt within us. Okay? So all of a sudden, this mirror is getting a bit cleaner. And the more time that we spend with Jesus, the cleaner our mirror becomes and the better a reflector of the light we become for Jesus. Beginning to see a little bit more reflection? We'll go again. Oh, one. Thank you. The more time that we spend with Jesus, he wipes away the dirt. And as we give it over to him, this mirror becomes cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. And we're getting a bit brighter as a reflector of Jesus. And the more and more and more that we spend with Jesus, you can see where I'm going, yeah? Like all of a sudden, this mirror that was once fit for purpose, as it was created, is reflecting the light. You see, we were never called to be the source. We were never made to be the one thing that lights up the world for people, but we were always called to be this reflector. And that's still a bit dirty, but if you turn it over, then you begin to see more and more around it. And this is what we can be like. We were never called to be the source, we were called to be a reflector, because as we get closer to Jesus, he cleans us. And as we get cleaner and cleaner, we begin to reflect what Jesus is, who Jesus is for us. We begin to reflect the attributes, the characteristics of Jesus, which are the light source, are the things that will draw people to him like a moth to a flame. If you've ever seen a bug's life, I can't help it, it's too beautiful. Thankfully, you don't get fried if you get close to Jesus. But like a moth to a flame, they come closer to Jesus. And all of a sudden, the reflector doesn't just reflect for other people to come closer to him, but it begins to light up your path too. Because as you look out, the light begins to light up your path. You see, when we're a clean mirror, we become a much better reflector of who Jesus is. So if all of this is true, then why talk about this when it comes to the who's your one? Because we're not just called to be reflectors so that our light, so our path gets lit up and it's easier for us to walk through, but so that people see Jesus. You see, people won't see Jesus unless they encounter people who know him and love him already. They can, but more often than not, the story is someone in my life knew him and showed me him. Maybe that's your story. But if you're a dirty mirror, if you're a dirty reflector and not really reflecting anything good back, people are never going to get to see that. But as you reflect Jesus, they begin to see his characteristics. They begin to see the attributes that make him somebody that you want to love. They begin to see attributes like compassion. Jesus was compassionate. In Matthew 9:36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Do people talk about you as a compassionate person? If not, maybe spend a little bit more time with Jesus and see that compassion begin to reflect off you. I'm preaching to myself, okay? None of this is stuff that I've nailed. I'm learning this. You begin to reflect forgiveness. Luke 23:34 is the story of when Jesus is dying on the cross and his final words, Father, forgive them, He was a forgiver. Not just in that last moment, but throughout his story, you see forgiveness through Jesus. And we can be people that show forgiveness to people around us. We reflect that. Here's one that I'm learning constantly is patience. Goodness me, I can be impatient. I can get frustrated about stuff. But the more that I spend time with Jesus, the more patience reflects off me. His patience reflects off me for people. The biggest one, and this is Jesus' story through and through, is love. When you reflect Jesus, you reflect love on people. And so no matter what they've done to you, no matter where they come from, no matter what they may look like, how they may act, things that they may do that you don't agree with, you still love them anyway, because that's what Jesus did. Time after time after time after time after time through his ministry, you hear stories of people who stood against him, and yet he loved them. You hear stories of people from a different background, and yet he loved them anyway. You hear stories of people that were dirty and full of disease, and yet Jesus went to them and loved them anyway. And this is what we've got to do, even when people make it hard. Because people are people, and they're difficult, right? We still love them anyway. And why? Because when we spend time and get close to Jesus, we reflect his light. We reflect his compassion, his forgiveness, his patience, his love. There are so many more attributes of Jesus that we reflect. Like, all of a sudden, you become attractive to people. Not because you look attractive, although you do. But because of the attributes that you begin to share out to them. Not frustration and hate and disappointment and all these things that actually the world is constantly sharing with them. But because you display these attributes. Attributes that say, hey, come on a journey with me. I don't care about all this baggage that you're carrying. Believe me, you should see mine. But let's do a journey together. So who's your one? If all of this is driving down to one question, who's your one? Who's the one person right now that in your world needs to see the reflection of Jesus in their life? Who's your one? What is it that stood in your way so far of being a great reflector of Jesus to them? Very often we write off their stories because we say, oh, they're not interested. And the truth is that we put up a barrier against them and said, oh, you're not interested? Oh, that sucks. We've answered it for them already. And the truth is they're desperate. They're crying out for something. And we're going, okay. But maybe if we were a little bit more patient, we'd see through the stuff that they're putting up. Maybe if we were a little more forgiving, we'd forget about the hurt that we carried against them and gave them the time of day. Maybe if we just loved them more, we'd take all the shouting, we'd take all the attacks, we'd take all the frustration about them. Why won't you just listen? Because maybe you're shouting too much and they're shutting off. Just be like Jesus, take it down a notch. Take it down an octave. And all of a sudden you become a lot more listened to. All of a sudden, you become a much better reflector of Jesus, not trying to be a light source in their life. So who's your one? And what attribute of Jesus do they most need to see right now? So knowing that, how are you reflecting that? Are you reflecting the forgiveness that they need to see that Jesus has for them? And if not, let me encourage you, spend a little bit more time with Jesus. Understand the forgiveness that you've already experienced from him. And reflect it. Because I don't know about you, but if you're like me, there's a lot of forgiveness that's gone on from people and from God. He's forgiven me for an awful lot. So I need to reflect that forgiveness back. If you get really frustrated with people, just a bit of patience. A bit of patience. Lord, give me patience and give it to me now, right? A bit of patience. God, give me the patience for this person to hear them out, to not be put off straight away because they're just fighting back. God, give me the patience. Fill in the blank of what your one person needs. I don't know who your person is. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what you're going through right now, but there's a person that needs to know Jesus, and you're the only reflector that's going to be in their life. You see, in Matthew 5, it says, you're a light of the world. We are not called to be a light to every nation. We are, but not as individuals. Okay, so if this seems too big for you, good, because it is. Okay, Jesus isn't saying you as an individual go and be the light of the world. He's saying go and be a light of your world. Sometimes we get wrapped up in this thing that church, the local church, has to be the answer. And yet kingdom culture says the church, big C church, international. I'm not going to impact, fill in the blank. I'm not going to impact Carolina because I'm not there. And if I am, then we are doing much better than I ever thought. But I'm not going to be that impact in the place that I am right now. I'm going to be the impact in this room. I'm going to be the impact in this community. I'm going to be the impact in my job, in my family, in my community, in my neighborhood, with the neighbor who constantly thinks he's not good enough and has tried to kill himself too many times. I can be the light in that situation. Like, that's a family that don't know Jesus, but they know us. So we're going to be a light. We're going to reflect Jesus to them. In this community, there are way too many people that think they're not good enough or think that they can't because of the circumstance they find themselves in. Hey, church, that's our job. We've got to be a great reflector of who Jesus is and speak life into this community. That's what Christmas is about. Our event over Christmas isn't about making us bigger. It's about helping people set themselves up and saying, hey, you can. Like, you can, so please come in. That's what we're doing. So who's your one? Who's the one in your world right now that needs a reflection of Jesus? Who isn't going to get the source themselves because they don't particularly know it, but they know you. Who's your world? Who's your one right now, I wonder? And how do you... This still isn't the cleanest in the world because baby wipes are good for cleaning up a baby, but not necessarily a dirty mirror. But as a mirror, how well are you reflecting who Jesus is? Are you covered in cream like this was to start with? Are you a bit dirty and need to spend more time with Jesus? Or are you actually doing pretty well right now? Wherever you fall on that scale, hey, you need to be with Jesus some more because otherwise that dirt's going to get to you because we're humans and we're flawed. But the more time that you spend with Jesus, the cleaner you become and the better a reflector you are of him. So let me encourage you, find your one. Begin to ask God, help me to be a better reflector of the things that they need to see of you. And let me be that. Sometimes that's a word. Sometimes that's an action of, hey, can I buy you a meal? Just take a bit of weight off you at the moment. Sometimes that's going on a much bigger journey of let me help you out of the place that you're at right now. And for some people, that's even going on a journey of let me introduce you to my friend Jesus and let's do a walk together. And Pastor Mike has worked really hard. This isn't a plug. He's not asked me to do this, I promise. But here's a tool that we can use if we get to that point of a new Christian's course. Like the whole aim of Let's Go is helping people encounter Jesus and coming into a relationship with him, right? Yeah. Good. And you may say I'm not an evangelist, but the whole series has been, this is your job, not just the evangelist on the stage, right? And so we've got tools. We can equip you to help you be the evangelist that that person needs in their life. And if you've not seen these before, we've got books available for you that will just help you journey through with somebody how to become a Christian and how to live out the life of a Christian. There's... The journey, and then a leader's edition. Ooh. The leader's edition has all the answers in. But we're not just trying to set you up to then go, right, you want to know who Jesus is, you want to come to church, now go to the pastor, because Mike can't deal with 50 new people saying, please help me become a better Christian. And that's not how discipleship is taught in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say, go to church and be a better Christian. It says, come with me. Jesus took 12 and sat down with them constantly and said, here's how to be better. Here's how to lead people. Here's how to help them get to know me better. And that's what we're supposed to do. So don't rely on Mike. Don't rely on us as a leadership team to help your friends become Christians. Go and be. Go and do. Go and take your one. And then help them find their one. And you find your next one, and it goes on and on and on. But in order to do that, you need to make sure that you're an excellent reflector of Jesus. So we're going to finish, and I want to ask you and leave you with this question of who's your one? Who's your one? Is it a family member? Is it a friend? Is it a colleague? Hey, for some of us, is it your kids? Stop looking outside of your house and start looking inside. They need to know Jesus too. And they're going to see the real you. It's easy to put on a front. They see the impatience when they're screaming in your face and you're screaming back. Just me. That's okay. Who's your one?